So yeah, so we'll talk about the movie, I guess, for about 15 minutes or so.
Let's talk about your love of wrestling.
Also, I tried. My son is here today because they had school off, and I got into it. And I was like, okay, let me go back and show you, you know, what I remember from the WWF when I was 12. Does not hold.
Oh, does it not?
No. Hulk Hogan is not this
He's not
Adonis.
The guy that you remember.
No, you could see the Florida in him start to to come out. It's like this whole scene was a very and I looked around and I saw that my wife and my son had left the room. I was 6 minutes into this thing and I'm like, hey, what, it's Hulk Hogan, Randy the Macho Man Savage. No, I'm gonna shut this off. So. All right, you ready, Rock? All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Welcome to The Download here on WGN Radio and WGNRadio.com. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, the new film is out in theaters this week, Fighting With My Family. It's a story of one of the most successful female wrestlers of all time, the WWE's Paige. This film is a fictitious version of a great documentary called The Wrestlers, which came out, which talked about Paige's wrestling family from Norwich, England. It's a great film. It's produced by Dwayne The Rock Johnson. It has a great cast, including Chicago's very own Vince Vaughn. And it has a writer-director. It's very interesting. Not an ex-WWE wrestler or maybe a journalist who covers wrestling, but maybe one of the greatest comedic minds of our time, Stephen Merchant.
Thank you very much.
Stephen,
yes.
Stephen Merchant.
I'm surprised you didn't think I was a retired wrestler with this kind of physique.
I thought that this is what we'd get today. But the film is heartfelt. It's emotional. It's funny. And it tells a true story of Paige. And Stephen Merchant, of course, longtime collaborator with Ricky Gervais for the BBC's The Office. Also, HBO's Extras, Hello Ladies, stand-up comedian, actor Caliban and Logan. I mean,
Thank you.
All the way down the line. Stephen Merchant, my guest, the writer-director of Fighting With My Family. Thanks for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
You're a fan of wrestling?
Never knew anything about it before I began this project. Used to occasionally wander in when my grandfather was watching British wrestling in the late 70s when I was very young, and I had no idea what was going on. In fact, British wrestling, I mean, if you picture wrestling as being people like The Rock and Stone Cold Steve Austin, ripped physiques, doing kind of athleticism in the ring, that was not what British wrestling was like in the 70s. There was a guy called Giant Haystacks. There was a guy called Big Daddy. And as far as I can tell, they were just really big fat men who bumped bellies on TV. And this was unbelievably popular. And, in fact, it was on a show called World of Sport, which seemed a bit rich because these were the least athletic men I've ever seen. But And I used to wander in, my granddad would be watching it, and I used to think, what is going on? I couldn't understand what was happening. I didn't understand if it was real or phony. And so I never really got into wrestling, even in the glory days of Hulk Hogan. You know, I never really watched it, wasn't familiar. And so when this project came along and the documentary was sent to me as a potential movie, I just thought, oh, who cares? I'm not interested. And I watched it, and I was just so swept up by this family, this wrestling family, their dreams, this ambition of getting their kids at the top of the WWE, and really feeling like that would change their fortunes. And I don't know, to me, the wrestling part of it seemed irrelevant. It was really just about family and this girl and her ambitions and her loneliness when she had to go 4,000 miles away to America to try and fulfill this sort of destiny that her parents had mapped out for her. I don't know, I just found it very moving.
What's amazing about the story is it is about Paige or Saraya and the trying to make it as a wrestler, but it's really about when you don't make it. And it's about her family, and her family wants more than anything else for their kids to make it to the WWE. And in this case, the brother does not get chosen. And it really, the heartfelt part of this is watching what happens to him when he's not chosen.
Well, that was the thing which I really related to when I first heard the story, saw the documentary, and then met the family. As you say, there's lots of movies, I think, about exceptional people that excel in sport or entertainment or whatever else. And they're fun, and it's great to celebrate that. And we do with Paige's success. But what about those people who get left behind? Not everyone gets to be, you know, the NFL star or the heavyweight champion of the world, you know, and a lot more people fail than succeed. But that doesn't mean your life has no value. And it's about sort of how do you pick yourself up once your dreams don't quite play out as you'd hoped? And what do you do? What's the second chapter of your life? And I thought that was just, again, a really relatable story and a really moving story, particularly in a time when I think we are living in a culture in which, you know, Instagram likes and celebrity is seen as the sort of be-all and end-all, right? That you're not really anything if you've not got that stuff. And actually, it's worth remembering that, no, that's not all and that's not everything. And I mean, that's a bit rich coming from a guy who was checking his Instagram likes this morning. But you take my point, you know. And yeah. So I wanted it to be a celebration of this brother and how he found meaning when life didn't quite play out as he hoped.
There's all of those storylines make the movie complete, and you can tell in the writing that that's a big part of it. Directing a film like this, where you're essentially doing fictionalized versions of something that's real from the documentary, and then also creating a world that you're not necessarily that familiar with, how difficult was it as a challenge to direct a wrestling movie?
Well, I should mention briefly that it's originated not with me, but with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I had done this movie years ago in 2010 with him called Tooth Fairy. You're welcome.
Classic,
and exactly. And so we'd stayed in touch over the years, and he was in England making one of his Fast and Furious movies, saw the documentary, related to the family because he's from a wrestling background, and he's the one who became, as we dramatize in the movie, involved in their real lives, and then somewhere down the line realized there was a sort of Rocky underdog story there, kind of waiting to be plucked out and made into a movie. He's the one who sent me the documentary, and that's how I got involved. So he was a great guide for me in terms of wrestling, about being educated on wrestling. I went to WrestleMania with him.
Wow.
I saw the kind of spectacle of it, the athleticism of it, the showmanship. That really converted me from a person who was oblivious to a real wrestling fan, because once you've seen it in the flesh and you've seen these guys and women throwing themselves around, You have to just, it's kind of jaw-dropping. I mean, it really is very, very entertaining, and I was won over.
I would assume the backstage portion of it, because a lot of us, if it's never seen, and it's a big part of the show, of showing, or the film, the idea of training and what goes into it, and also being in the arena when other things are happening. So I would assume that experience helped in your directing of this film.
Well, it's an unusual combination of sport and entertainment, and you know, they train as vigorously as many athletes. I mean, they are really put through the ringer, because the WWE needs to make sure that you have the levels of fitness, that you can kind of cope with the relentless schedule. I mean, those people are on the road all the time, that you can deal with the heckles from the crowd and the kind of, and so they really put put you through the machine. And but alongside the sort of athleticism of it, the sport of it, is this showmanship aspect, right? And so in the way, the movie is like a weird mix of sort of like Rocky and then one of those kind of backstage musicals, you know, where the kid gets their break,
Go
on and you know, sing the song on Broadway. You know, it's a very unusual combination. So I thought about movies like Billy Elliot, which you know, is about a young boy who loves ballet and wants to escape his town and become a ballet dancer, which again, I had no interest in ballet, but I really was rooting for that kid. So I thought about that.
Think about, you know, how the film plays out, and I think about what we know of your career. And you seem to be drawn to these projects where there is equal parts humor and equal parts heart. And it shows in this film again, where you're able to tell a joke and then on a dime be able to switch and get us into a spot where we're thinking or feeling. And you see this in the work that you did for HBO and obviously the British Office. Are you looking for projects that are going to have those all of that stuff wrapped in one?
I don't know why. In my mind, the, you know, comedy and tragedy, if you like, just are always walking hand in hand. You know, I think maybe a lot of the things that I enjoy as a fan have that mix. I always remember thinking there's a great episode of The Sopranos. Do you remember where they, Paulie and I forget who else, Christopher, get lost in the snowy sort of depths, and they're trying to bump off this guy, but Paulie loses his shoes and they're kind of sniping, but they're also hitmen trying to kill this guy. And there's just something, that funny mix of humor and drama, I just remember is a great template of what I love, you know, where I feel, I don't know, in my own life, you can be in hysterics and then something crazy or sad or tragic happens, right? And suddenly, you know, emotions change. So to me, you know, the combination of the two is it feels more realistic. It feels like that's how we live our lives, that we're never entirely sad and we're never entirely happy. And there's always that mix of those emotions. And so I want you to laugh, but I want you to kind of be moved by the end. I want you to be on an emotional journey. We tried to do it with The Office and the other projects I've worked on. And the greatest compliment I've ever had is the end of the British office, which, without giving any spoilers away, has a sort of romantic, a sweet romantic ending. A woman stopped me in the street once and she said, I work for the British Ambulance Service. And these ambulance guys, these drivers have to pick up people who are heavily injured or pull them out of car wrecks and take them to the hospital. And these guys are made of stone. They never crack. The emotion never shows. And they watched the finale of the British office. They were in tears. You know, and I just, that to me is the highest praise. You know,
it's,
that you
it's emotional relatability. Right. And you know, obviously in America, The Office here has become one of the most beloved shows of all time. It continues on rerun. We were watching it last night. I mean, it's nonstop. But to think back to the moment when when people saw The Office, or when you were able to get that emotional, or like you said, comedy and tragedy, they kind of go hand in hand. It's amazing how, whether you're an ambulance driver or a fledgling comedian or someone who's living in California or, or anywhere in the far in Russia, they're all connected by this emotion from this show. Do you recognize that the power that, that your art and that you and Ricky Gervais did has that impact on the world?
Well, certainly when we started, obviously, we never had such grand ideas. We just wanted to make this little British show that we thought might appeal to maybe a million people. That would be their favorite thing, and then no one else would care. And certainly initially when that show first aired, it did not set the world alight. And they actually did they did test screenings at the BBC, and it scored the lowest mark ever. The only thing that scored lower was women's lawn bowls. And which I didn't even know was on TV. But anyway, but then the show began to catch light in England. And then we would start hearing reports that people in America were watching it. We heard, you know, that Samuel L. Jackson watched it. Just something, even the idea of Samuel L. Jackson having a DVD player. And just like, he's in his slippers and he's like peeling off the plastic wrapper of the DVD and can't quite get it to open up. And then he said, how's the DVD work? and then he watched it and other superstars, and then the American version came along, and I think just increasingly we realized that what had felt so specific about the British version was exactly what made it relatable, both in America, and then it was remade in France and Germany and Israel and South America. And I think just at the core of it is we're all fundamentally the same, you know. Right. We have different accents, but we're basically all the same. And I think one of the reasons I hope this movie relates to people beyond just England is that this family, I think, are still very, very relatable, even though they speak British.
Yeah, and you nailed it. You don't have to be a wrestling fan. You don't have to know the real story of Paige or know the WWE to understand this family's plight, what they're trying to accomplish, and what they have to go through to get there.
Right, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Stephen Merchant, the writer-director of Fighting With My Family, which is out this week, and, of course, the longtime comedic force in both American and British television, my guest. Can't thank you enough for sitting down. Huge fan, and appreciate it, and good luck with the film.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you having me.